Fourth hour hashtag. Fastest 4 hours in radio. Oh, man. You gotta do a show.
I'm looking at the replies on Zone TV to the birthday segment.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, those answers are beautiful.
Yeah, they were terrible. They were indeed terrible. Oh, man. At J. Martin Ramon on Twitter, 11-year NFL veteran, Ball for Life, Ramon Foster. I'm Jason Martin. I was about to say I'm Jonathan Schaefer. Nah, he's loafing.
We are today because he's not here.
Nah, he's white wheat. He's Iron Kids.
Non-existent.
He's Wonder. He's Sunbeam.
Non-existent.
King's Hawaiian.
Oh, no, he's not King's Hawaiian. He's nah. Every bread except that one.
King's Hawaiian's good stuff.
It's good stuff, man.
So we got John Glennon coming up next segment. We will preview the opening of Titans training camp.
Yeah.
With him. Looking forward to that conversation. Simone Biles had to pull out of team competition. U.S. finished with a silver as a result. First it was physical, then it was mental, then it was medical. Medical is just a real catch-all kind of term.
It's boxing.
It's unfortunate. Just hope she's all right. She's given everything she can to us, to the country, to everything else. I saw a few people saying that on Twitter. I think it's important just to show her love right now more than anything else. We don't know the story. We don't know exactly what's going on there. We just hope she's all right.
Yep.
And we appreciate everything that she's done, not just right now this week, but period, for a long, long time. Aaron Rodgers is at training camp. And ESPN's speaking about it. And Sam Acho says he definitely won this thing. And Dan Orlovsky says he definitely lost this thing.
They decided who was going to say what?
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Golly, it's almost like Aaron Rodgers is what Ron says all the time. Car ain't got no roof. It's basically.
Look, did he get what he wanted? I don't know, because I don't know if he wanted to be there. I don't think this is good for Green Bay at all, long term.
No.
Like, who has power? Who doesn't have power? If you're Matt LaFleur, can you even say anything critical to Aaron Rodgers?
No, he runs the organization this year.
Exactly.
This year.
And he's probably walking out after this year, too. So it's Super Bowl or bust. And I, for one, hope that doesn't happen. Real hard to root for them.
It's kind of iffy, Jack, right now.
Real hard to root for him. And there's some talented, good dudes on that team. Aaron Rodgers is not somebody that was going to be easy to root for anyway.
No.
But he's definitely not easy to root for right now. No. Yesterday, I said I understood where he was coming from on some of this
stuff.
You
get it.
But after all this, what did he accomplish? Really what he accomplished is putting himself above the team and dragging the entire city and that fan base through hell for the last 4 months.
He split them between the organization that they love and the players that they want to root for. Like, it's a lot of people that are probably going to side-eye him. Of course, if he goes in and win, all is well. But still, he put them through the ringer, Jay. Again. And Ron just commented on Zone TV, A-Rod ain't got no roof, basically.
A-Roof
is his name.
A-Roof Rodgers.
It's just so, Green Bay is not the same anymore, at least for this year. I'm with you. This type of dysfunction, man, usually leads to dysfunction throughout the year. And he's going to downplay all the media questions, and the team will too. But there's going to be the underlying effect that we only got you for this year. And it's not like a Tom Brady situation where it was like you kind of saw this coming. His is as abrupt as ever when it comes down to it. It's wow. Who's next is, like I said, is the next thing.
I mean, it's probably Russ, but we'll see. We'll see what it becomes. It's just, I mean, at least now I guess we can get to the business of football. Top observation to open this hour coming from Lonzo Wright, a resident Mississippi State fan. Over on YouTube TV, where you can join the fam and just have fun. He said, Ramon's kid probably eats the crustless bread. Hashtag humble Hendersonville.
No, they eat full sandwiches.
Why are we talking about bread? Because Schaefer is loafing. Our regular producer on this show, this is the new thing. If anyone misses a day on this show, they're loafing. I don't care if they're in a casket. They're loafing.
I'm big loafed in.
Permanent loaf. I sent Schaefer a text message yesterday that just said moldy. And he goes, moldy. I said, bread. But now we've had one of our listeners, Auntie Erin, send him two photos of him on bread, like on loaves of bread. He's on Sunbeam, and I think he's also on Wonder Bread this morning as well.
Big loafing, Shay. Proud of you, dog.
Because Mike asked a question, I didn't hear you say it, but would you punish him in some kind of way or just let him do what he do?
A-Rod.
How do you punish him?
You can't. You absolutely you lost control.
Mm-hmm.
You did. Like, this is, and I think maybe he's looking for a partnership, but can there be a partnership in this back and forth that they have right now? Even with all the power, let's say a guy like LeBron has and L.A., they don't let the business side get out as much as this did with Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers. You know what I'm saying? Like, even if you didn't like somebody, whether somebody was fired or a coach was let go or Magic Johnson hit you with you, I'm not going to be here.
I mean, if you're going to punish knew. If you're going to punish him, you just call his bluff and bench him.
Yeah.
If you want to punish him, then play Jordan Love.
But then you lose Devontae. Exactly. You lose Tonya.
You probably Bakhtiari lose Za'Darius Smith.
Is probably getting those floor seats because of A.A. Ron as a part owner. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he's a big star in the Wisconsin area, but he's won. He is.
He's won in terms of having control.
Yes.
If he actually wanted to get out, he lost.
Yeah.
That's why I don't know how you answer the question, because we don't really know what he was trying to get. Did he actually want to go one more year in Green Bay and then move on? Because he knows that's the best opportunity for him to win a Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
Or did he just want out, and at which point he lost? Because I tweeted it yesterday after you saw it official. I said the Packers knew they had the nuts on the river.
Yeah.
They knew they had the best hand.
Yep.
He was hoping. He just kept on bluffing and throwing money into that pot.
Yeah.
You get down to it. No, you're either going to play here or you're going to go home. We're not going to trade you. Sorry. It's not going to happen. So who won here? If Green Bay wins the Super Bowl, who won?
Green Bay wins right there.
Agreed.
Organization, yes. Organization wins right there. He wins as far as his value, but I think he also puts himself and his teammates, which I don't know if he really cares about them as much as I'm playing this up. But does that mean you stick around or do you get out of Dodge? Will he have to restructure all of his deal to say, hey, look, I want my $500,000 workout bonus because I don't want to be in Green Bay. I want my roster bonus because I know I'm going to get it. I want time off, and I don't want to be here for OTAs or minicamp. I want exactly what I got last summer. If that's what he's getting as far as his, what does he say, his evaluation of all
when
things?
We see the concessions later on today. The other thing I would wonder is this, if I'm Green Bay, if I don't really have any power anyway, I mean, if it's going a little bit poorly, he's going to have an injury all of a sudden and disappear too.
But
I mean, what are you setting the stage? The thing that we talked about earlier, Moan, in the Adam Schefter piece was mechanisms will be put in place to address Rodgers' issues with the team.
Too.
I don't know what that means. Does that mean, because people? We know what his issues are.
People.
Yes. So what are those mechanisms? Is it a dump truck in which to throw the GM after the season?
If that happens, dog, that'll show that the quarterback, and I've said this, is the most important person in all of the buildings if you got the right one. If you got the right one. Let's name off some quarterbacks. Ryan Tannehill, next year, is he able to pull these type of moves if he wants a higher pay increase? Think about it. Who have the Titans had better here than Ryan Tannehill? Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
So if he sees this and his agent sees this, do what Aaron did. I don't care who needs to be paid. You deserve to be paid too, Ryan Tannehill. Like, who's Dak basically played poker with Dallas and won?
Yeah, he won.
He won.
Dak won and they lost.
Yep. Yes, they did. You bring up Russell.
We'll see whether or not he wins.
I mean, if that's the case, if Aaron Rodgers struck a match to light this up for all quarterbacks or superstar players, it's a wrap when it comes to it. I mean, this is a new wave. This is player power right here.
He's there. They're still not NBA, but they're testing the limits of their leverage. And Green Bay just looks like they have absolutely nothing.
They're twirling their thumbs.
pretty much.
I don't think they do well, to your point, this year simply because of all of this.
I just wonder what – I know the players want to win ultimately, and you want Aaron Rodgers, but how tired did you get if you're one of those players of all of this, and how many eye rolls are you going to do knowing that that's what the media wants to ask you about? What does it feel like having Aaron and Devontae back and everything good this season and all this, and what do you think about next year? Like, that is not something I want if I'm another guy on that roster at all, because it's always been about him anyway. It was about him all offseason. It was never about us. Now we're going to camp. Now he shows back up. Now it's still about him. And I wonder if Brett Favre watching this, like, well, didn't work for me. When it was Aaron in the Jordan Love seat, didn't work for me.
Just shows,
man, if you were elite, you can get away with murder.
You can do what you
almost
want.
Literally.
Almost.
Almost literally. Almost. And in some cases, literally.
Literally.
You can get away with murder if you're elite. If you are strong enough or good enough at what you do, you can get away with darn near anything.
Just looking at their preview of their schedule, though, just they got Jets, Buffalo, New Orleans, Detroit, San Fran, Pittsburgh, Cincy, Chicago, Washington on their schedule, and the rest of their schedule. Washington, Arizona, Kansas City, Seattle, Minnesota, and then the Rams. Baltimore's on their schedule, too, this year.
Hate to see it.
He's got some solid quarterbacks he's got to go against, is what you're saying, as far as his overall record and him coming back for one big whatever you want to call it.
The offseason is over. Titans on the practice field tomorrow. We'll talk to John Glennon about all of that when we come back. Jay Martin and Moe, 104.5 The Zone. Martin, Andrew Malone is in for Jonathan Schaefer yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Schaefer is loafing. Send him all the photos of bread that you can find in bread-related products. I accept rolls, croissants. What other bread products are out there? Just yeast rising gifts.
Jams.
Whatever it is.
Jams, spreads.
That's the way this works. Even if you have a good reason, even if you have passed away, we say you're loafing if you're not on this show. No, he's taking well-deserved time off, but he's loafing. Let's just be real.
He's loafing.
We welcome in John Glennon of Broadway Sports Media with Titans. Well, Titans will be on the field tomorrow, and, of course, Coach Vrabel is going to speak a little bit later today. John, how are you this morning?
Morning. I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing pretty well. So Aaron Rodgers is back, so I guess we can get on with our lives.
Took him a little bit. I think Aaron's is a guy that likes to keep a bit of an air of mystery about him a lot of times, and likes to keep people guessing on their toes. So yes, finally it appears he is returning, and all is well in Green Bay now.
Well, so what do you expect Vrabel to say today? You've obviously been a part of a lot of introductory press conferences to open up training camps. What's on your mind? What might you ask him? What do you expect from Coach today?
Well, you know, for starters, I think it'll be interesting to see how much he'll talk about, the vaccination situation for this team. It's certainly a very big issue around the league, in terms of percentage, what kind of percent does your team have in terms of being vaccinated? Because it can certainly give people more freedom in terms of how they, move about the locker room, how they practice and so forth. So I think that's going to be a key issue. I think we know that Mike Vrabel is not a big guy in terms of talking about injuries, but maybe we can see if we can get some sort of timetable on the return for guys like Caleb Farley and Bud Dupree, because I think it's very important for both of them, especially both are new to this Titans system, to get as much training camp as they can in. And then it'll be interesting to get his take on some of the competitive positions here at camp, such as right tackle. You look at the wide receiver depth positions and even the kicker position, too, is extremely wide open, and obviously not a lot of experience there either.
I was trying to write down, and we were going to kind of rank, and we may actually end up doing it tomorrow, the top five storylines, potentially the top five questions that we have about this team entering a season where there's a lot of expectations. And the things that I read down were secondary / pass rush, Todd Downing taking over for Arthur Smith. Is Anthony Firkser enough if he's going to be your tight end one? The kicking situation and Derrick Henry hitting 2,000 yards again. What did I miss?
You know, I think it will be interesting to see how long it takes, you know, Ryan Tannehill and Julio Jones to click like they want to. You know, knowing the experience of these guys and their work ethic, it probably shouldn't take long. But let's remember, too, that Julio Jones has played, you know, 10 years with one quarterback and one team. So there might be a little bit of an adjustment there. You know, I wrote a little bit this morning also, you know, I'd like to see some more kind of step up, some more production from the 2020 draft class for the Titans, which had a miserable first year last year. So I'm looking for guys like Christian Fulton and Darrington Evans to hopefully take big steps up for the Titans this year. Yeah, I can't recall if you mentioned those three wide receiver spots behind the big three, but I think that's important too in terms of what the Titans want. Do they want all size? You know, do they want a little bit of a gadget guy like a Cam Batson who can give some returns, you know, some slot play, etc.? Or, you know, one of these the newcomers, you know, maybe like a Marcus Johnson, could he bring some speed into that wide receiver room as well? So, yeah, those are some of the questions. I think fortunately for the Titans, there aren't necessarily huge glaring holes or questions that need to be answered going into camp.
One thing that's the heavy topic that we've had this offseason has been, you know, Julio and AJ. We know who they are and what they're capable of doing, but this third and fourth wide receiver combo, how do you see this shaking out right now? Like I said, the one guy in particular, Josh Reynolds, is the guy, and then you have the young guys in the draft. This is something that's got to be defined too, because as much as we want to say, you know, the ball's got to go through those two, it's good to still spread it around for guys to carve out the roles.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've got a lot of options this year and where they want to go. You know, I think probably Des Fitzpatrick, the rookie, is, you know, virtually a lock to make this roster, you know, and he's another guy that adds some size, especially, and he's a deep threat as well. But then, you know, what do you want after that? Do you want guys that maybe could add even more size? You know, Nick Westbrook, you know, Cody Hollister, the other rookie, Racing McMath, you know, who I think maybe ends up on the practice squad this year and kind of a project there. If you want speed, okay, Marcus Johnson, there's a guy who averaged about 17 yards a catch, you know, with the Colts on about 40 catches. You know, and then there's some wild cards. I think, well, I should mention, obviously, Cam Batson, too.
Right.
Because I think, you know, at this point, really, he's the leader in terms of being a punt returner, and he gives you a lot of options. He can go in the slot. He can be kind of a gadget guy. You know, we saw him do a little bit of wildcat last year. You know, and he's a guy with a little bit of wiggle that maybe some of these bigger guys don't have. And then, you know, as I say, some wild cards. Kalijah Lipscomb, you know, we saw him play here at Vanderbilt. A lot of talent. Chester Rogers has got a lot of NFL catches. And, you know, even Mason Kinsey has raised some eyebrows, you know, has flashed from time to time. So, very interesting options here for the Titans going ahead at in the depth wide receiver spot.
One thing that was brought up on social media, man, and I'm not sure if you saw it or not, but the Titans are bringing in 8 Pro Bowlers to camp this year? Or did we miscount somewhere?
Well, that was the line that was in the training camp guide. Yes, believe it or not, that was in the Titans training camp guide. Turns out there was a bit of a glaring omission there. one Taylor Lewan was omitted from there. And of course, you know, it had to be the most popular guy that was omitted from there. So,
yeah.
You know, I looked at the list and pretty much copied it word for word and put it on Twitter. And I should have realized as I was copying that list, I should have realized, wait a minute now. They're missing a guy who made 3 straight Pro Bowls here in Taylor Lewan. However, I did not, and I was rudely reminded of this by the Twitter crowd out there. So I've been pummeled by many out there, including Taylor Lewan, took a little bit of a humorous jab at me too. So all to know now that the Taylor Lewan is one of the 9 Pro Bowlers the Titans are bringing into camp, and he has made 3 Pro Bowls.
Well, you know what? I could see him doing a Bussin' with the Boys episode for each Pro Bowl that he made that the Titans left off of that training camp list.
Yeah.
it's entirely possible. Yeah, I had to pass the buck just a little bit to the training camp guy, but I also should have looked at that list and said, wait a minute now, the big fella's not on here.
John, you learn very early as a child, it's all about assessing blame. It's all about finding someone else to blame it on. So you pick the right group. One group or one pair that I'm interested in this year, Jayon Brown and Rashawn Evans. These are two guys that the likelihood that you still have both of them next season ain't great. But I think that they both play better with one another than not playing with one another. What do you anticipate? Rashawn's obviously competing, and Rashawn's obviously playing this year for future money. Jayon's probably going to get paid. Rashawn's coming off a bad year. Those are two guys that I'm fascinated to watch.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, and I think, you know, maybe a small thing that helps both guys this year is, you know, Jim Haslett, the inside linebackers coach, you know, last year was his first year, obviously, with the team, and he never really got that hands-on off-season with these guys that every coach, you know, would like. So he's going to get that hands-on approach. He's had it in the OTAs. He's had it in training camp. He's able to see these guys one-on-one, see them on the field, you know, much more than he did last year. I think that's going to make a difference also. You know, I think Jayon Brown has had a year or so, you know, now of being a play caller. I think the communication that we heard so much about last year should be better, I think, this time around. I think, one, Shane Bowen has got less responsibility, even though he's in a higher role. He doesn't have to worry, you know, about kind of two jobs. So I think that's going to help both guys as well. But, yeah, I think, you know, of the two, Jayon Brown is more, you know, versatile. You know, obviously he's a bigger part of pass coverage as well. But, yeah, it will be very interesting to see what Rashad Weaver does this year, because clearly I think the thought is pretty obvious that Monty Rice could be in line if Monty Rice plays as well as the Titans think he will. You know, maybe to step into Rashad Weaver's shoes next year. Excuse me, not Rashad Weaver. Shoes next year, you know, when Evans, you know, is without a contract.
There is an article right now on NFL.com. It's 2021 season, projecting the most improved player on each AFC team. The guy for the Tennessee Titans happens to be Anthony Firkser. They go on to say he has a 9.1% catch rate over expected last season. Not to mention he didn't drop a single pass. His run blocking and pass blocking production has dramatically increased over the last few years. Right now, are you saying Tennessee is a tight end factory when it comes to finding the next guy? Is Firkser this guy this year to find himself on top of that spot and also becoming a playmaker?
I think it's an excellent call right there. You know, I think, you know, you look at what he did last year in, you know, relatively few snaps. I want to say he probably only had about 350 snaps or so, which is really not all that many.
Nah.
But he had 39 catches in that regard. And I think, you know, that production and the number of targets he gets up, goes up a little bit this year. You know, he has proven he can get open. He has proven he can make important catches in the first down department. I think what is really key for Anthony Firkser is if he is able to prove he is a red zone target a la Jonnu Smith. You know, really, Jonnu Smith only had a few more catches than Anthony Firkser last year, but Jonnu Smith was a huge red zone target, and I think he wound up with, probably 8 touchdowns or so. So that, to me, is one key for Anthony Firkser. But, yeah, I think he has gotten better in terms of the run game. Now, are you going to use him regularly in line as a blocking tight end? No, I don't think that happens a lot. But, you know, if you've got Jeff Swaim and Anthony Firkser both out there, I think they're both versatile enough to give you a little bit of blocking and a little bit of pass catching. Both of them can do both roles to some degree.
No matter what and how we paint the game out to be played, it's still going to be a physical game. It's also a game where you win starting positions and credit from your teammates by what you do in practice and what you do in camp leading up to the opening day of the season. I'm going to mention 3 guys for you, and 2 of these guys on the same side and the other one's the one they may be going against. But Kendall Lamb, Dylan Raidens, and Harold Landry. Those 3 guys will have a battle this camp in which all 3 of them need it, But the two, Kendall Lamb and Dylan Radins, are in a spot to where they have to figure out who's going to be the starting right tackle. And I feel like they're going to go against a veteran guy in Harold Landry, who needs a big year himself. How do you see this matchup going all of camp? If there's one, if they had Hard Knocks, it would be that trio of guys right there that's pretty much got to duke it out moving forward.
It's a good group. Yeah, it'll be good to watch that situation unfold here at camp. I wouldn't be completely shocked, you know, if we see something at right tackle like we did at right guard a couple years ago with Nate Davis, you know, okay. Where they bring him along. He didn't necessarily, you know, he didn't start the opener, but I think about four games into the season, he wound up being the starter. And he took a few lumps for a few games, but eventually got his footing, and he's been the man ever since. Kendall Lamb is a guy that clearly the Titans like. They went out and got him. I think he fits their, role. I think mm-hmm. he fits their type of game he wants to play because he is a physical guy. He can do pretty decently in the run game. And let's face it, you know, as well as Dylan Radins did at the Senior Bowl and as much talent as he has, he's still making a big jump up, from a smaller school right to the NFL level. So, you know, if he's not completely 100% ready for the start, you know, for the opener, it wouldn't shock me if Kendall Lamb maybe starts a few games before Radins is ready. And Harold Landry will certainly give both of those guys an excellent test here in training camp. There's no doubt about it. It would be nice to see some pressure taken off Harold Landry this year. We know how many snaps that he played last year, how vital he was to the team, and how he rarely got off the field. You know, if the Titans can build a little bit of depth, you know, with Bud Dupree, you know, with Rashad Weaver, with John Simon, Derek Roberson, et cetera, boy, it would be nice to get him a few fewer snaps this year and maybe make him a little bit more effective in the long run.
So the rest of the division, the Deshaun Watson story, which, look, there we see criminal complaints yesterday added, and Rusty Harden mentions those. But the Texans are now saying, hey, you know, for the last several weeks we've been entertaining offers. We haven't gotten a serious one. We'd like to have, you know, three first-round picks, maybe five picks total plus players. How, John, if you are any other team, do you actually deal not knowing what is about to happen with Deshaun Watson? I mean, he could play for 2 weeks and then get put on the exempt list. Who knows what's going to happen? It just feels like right here in our division, we've got a Texans franchise that's misplayed this, and now there's not really much that can happen.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think if there was a time to have made this move, it was early on, you know, as teams are still kind of plotting out more of next year and okay, this is what we want from our quarterback position. This is what we're going to do with our salary cap. This is what we're going to do with our future draft picks, et cetera. Now, obviously, teams are still going to be interested in Deshaun Watson, but, you know, maybe for some teams, it's a little bit more difficult because of the cap situation or because of the draft pick situation that has happened over the last couple of months. And the argument you make, you know, is an excellent one for an opposing general manager to kind of bring down that asking price. You know, the heck if we're giving up three first-round draft picks and more for a quarterback whose future is uncertain. You know, and we've all seen situations where even if legally, Deshaun Watson doesn't face any ramifications, the NFL can still come down hard and say, okay, from the evidence that we've seen, we're going to, drop this punishment on Deshaun Watson. So, It's a very tricky situation. You know, again, teams very interested, but I can't see teams giving up that kind of a price tag with that future, that uncertain future at this point. So, you know, when you look at the AFC South overall, you know, I see a lot of people still like the Colts. I just can't see it until Carson Wentz proves that Amen. He's the Carson Wentz of, you know, a few years ago. I just don't see it. I think the Colts are great, or I think the Colts are very good, I would say, on both sides of the line. And I certainly think they're the second-best team in the division. But, you know, if the Titans' defense is a little bit better overall than it was last year, and that's a low bar, it shouldn't be hard to be better than last year's defense, I think they still have to be clearly the favorites of this division.
Over under one question today about the kicking situation.
Over under...
Like over under one. Is there going to be a question about the kicking situation today?
In terms of how many kickers the team has this year? I don't think we've seen the last kicker added to the roster. I'll go way out on a limb and say that. You know, when you've had problems for a couple of years in the kicking situation, and then the two guys you have in the competition in camp right now, neither of them has even kicked a preseason field goal. I feel like that's a pretty big risk to take. So I feel like at some point, you know, there's a veteran coming in there, whether it's Gostkowski, whether it's the loser of another competition elsewhere in an NFL camp. I got to think there's more competition to be had than just Tucker McCann and Blake Howbill.
John, always good to catch up with you, my friend. We will do it again soon. We're here. We're finally here. The offseason is over officially.
Time to get hot. Yes, indeed.
Yes,
thank you, guys.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks. That is John Glennon, of course, at Glennon Sports. So, University of Oklahoma and the University of Texas at Austin have just sent a letter. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read it to you when we come back. I bet you know what it says.
SEC is also meeting to discuss.
Yeah, they are on Thursday. All the presidents are going to be meeting to discuss a certain situation. Wonder what that is.
Burning up their
private jet fuel. Talk about it when we come back here. Jay Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. Jay Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. Finishing up the hashtag fastest 4 hours in radio on this Tuesday. We'll do four more tomorrow. Titans training camp officially opens tomorrow. Mike Vrabel will speak today. Introductory press conference for the season. You can hear it on Buck Show. I think it's 11:30. You'll hear it in its entirety there. Oklahoma and Texas send a message this morning, an official letter. It says, Dear Commissioner Sankey, University of Texas at Austin and the University of Oklahoma, the universities, request invitations for membership to the Southeastern Conference, the SEC, starting on July 1st, 2025. We believe there will be mutual benefit to the universities on the one hand, and the SEC, on the other hand, for the universities to become members of the SEC. We look forward to the prospect of discussions regarding this matter. Sincerely, Jay Hartzell, President, University of Texas at Austin. Joseph Harris, Jr., President, the University of Oklahoma. And a statement from Sankey. University of Oklahoma and University of Texas today submitted formal requests for invitations to become members of the Southeastern Conference in 2025. While the SEC has not proactively sought new members, we will pursue significant change when there is a clear consensus among our members that such actions will further enrich the experiences of our student athletes and lead to greater academic and athletic achievement across our campuses. The presidents and chancellors of the SEC in their capacity as the conference's chief executive officers will consider these requests in the near future per the bylaws of the SEC. A vote of at least three-fourths of the SEC's 14 members is required to extend an invitation for membership. And I saw... While the SEC has not proactively sought new members, that was put there to make sure that there's no claim of tortious interference from the conference trying to pry Oklahoma and Texas away.
Yep.
That's language that's careful. I also love request invitations for membership. I humbly request you invite me to your party, Linda. That's kind of what that is.
It is.
I really would like for you to invite me to your party. That's the way that reads. So we'll find out. They're going to – all the SEC presidents, I think, have a call now scheduled for Thursday.
If Vegas had odds on this, what's
– 100%.
Okay. That's what I was –
102%.
102 for the people who doubt it right now or who don't like it, that is.
Tyler Dunn, who we probably need to get on over the next few days, wrote about the Aaron Rodgers thing immediately. He says, the thread, in delaying the divorce, the Packers welcome all drama. Now, he goes into more detail about some of these concessions. This is kind of incredible. I'm just going to read this.
Please, man.
He cares deeply about a good narrative. That's no secret. And what a narrative this can be. This all fits neatly into the autobiography he'll script one day. This all surely adds to that chip permanently implanted onto his right shoulder. This is the grudge to top all grudges. Aaron Rodgers will play this 21 season in Green Bay in spite of his own bosses. And once this season wraps up, per the list of concessions / demands laid out by Adam Schefter, the Packers then must be open to trading the quarterback. They have agreed to, quote, review Rodgers' situation, unquote, after the season. In other words, if Rodgers' feelings are still hurt, then Green Bay will trade him. There will also be, quote, mechanisms, unquote, put into place to address Rodgers' issues with the organization.
This is good.
Whatever that means. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler hinted this could mean a public apology from the team. a theory once floated by a Rodgers surrogate. The final year of his contract, 2023, is voided. And then there's a headline straight out of the Onion. Rodgers reportedly, and now this has been confirmed by a beat reporter in Green Bay, wants the team to trade for decomposing slot receiver Randall Cobb. Unbelievable. Wow. Remarkable. There are two ways to look at this. You could argue Rodgers lost this power struggle, that he clearly wanted out and was unable to get his way. That's fair. It's not like he'll take a knee every down either. Rodgers plays well when he's pissed off, and the Packers know this. Maybe they're able to squeeze one more MVP season out of him. The thinking here, however, is this is an insanely weird arrangement, something like a husband and wife agreeing to get a divorce under the condition they live together for another 7 months. The Packers are kidding themselves that they think all problems will magically disappear. They appear A-OK with bending and bending and bending to the quarterback's will, with a chance to send a message and restore order by trading an insubordinate. They gave in. Rodgers' pal John Kuhn is working for Packers.com now. Maybe he's got 5 to 10 snaps in him still.
Wow. Kiss the ring. Bow down and kiss the ring.
Bro, if the Packers apologize to Aaron, what are they apologizing for? Drafting Jordan Love?
Not drafting somebody that he wanted in the first round?
If they make a public Randall apology, Cobb? If he forces them to make a public apology and bend the knee,
yeah,
they should just turn in their credentials and quit.
They may
that
have,
would be the weakest thing I've ever seen a pro sports owner do.
I laugh ever. At this. Remember the conversations we've had about my interaction with him. Does this line up? Does this line up?
Dude, I told you he's the pettiest athlete in pro sports. But yes, everything that you said that we aren't going to say on the air and everything else. Exactly. Everything you think Aaron Rodgers is, he is.
He's a guy.
He is who we thought he was.
Grabs the group. I got this info for you.
Bro.
I've never been here. I don't know how to run this organization, but I know how to run it better than they do. If you just ride with me, I got you. This is, grand opening, grand closing of what we know the Green Bay Packers organization.
If we get a public apology from the Green Bay Packers to Aaron Rodgers.
Dog.
We just do a laugh track for 4 hours
again,
after that.
It's just, he's the first.
Vrabel speaks at 11:30. Buck Rising will have that live. He'll also have plenty of himself. You don't want to miss that. We'll be back 6 to 10, same bad time, same J-Mart and Ramon channel. For Andrew Malone today, as well as Ramon, I'm Jason Martin. We're on Twitter at J-Mart and Ramon. We need a public apology from Shea for loafing.
And remember, your Twitter fingers and your mic are always hot.